Today, we're showing you how to build the perfect structure for a social media ad.
And how to address any questions that your audience might have.
Next Wave DV is the story of our journey growing Creative Edge Productions from a tiny studio in my basement to one of the leading video marketing agencies in the Midwest. So join us on our continuing mission of mastering video marketing.
Welcome back to the Mastering Video Marketing Podcast. I'm Tony Rielli.
And I am Ben Carlson.
And we're continuing our series on how to develop the perfect social media ad. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about our structure, the secret formula, how to build it. So I highly recommend kind of watching these in sequence because understanding the structure of it, understanding the formula that we go through, sometimes breaks the minds of a lot of people. You know, we are very ingrained with the traditional TV ads, the 30-second, 1-minute ads that, you know, they have a traditional design. They're designed to be, entertaining potentially or, you know, giving me a ton of information in that short period of time. But again, typically in a TV ad, they are not there to, they have a limitation. You got 30 seconds, maybe a minute if you spend an extra for that space. And you know, a lot of times there might be brand awareness, there might be direct response. So brand awareness is typically where it's just, hey, this is, you know, like you see a Chevy truck ad and it might just say like, look at how tough it is and look at all the things it can haul. Direct response would be like, hey, come down to our dealership and get a new Chevy truck for $299 a month or whatever. Yeah.
That's a great price for a Chevy truck.
Oh, yeah. Used to be. Last time I watched TV commercials for car ads. But, you know, for a TV ad, you know, that's kind of your limitation. In social media ads, unless you're running in like on YouTube where you've got the, you know, 15-second, you know, non-skippable ads or something like that, for the most part, you can go past 30 seconds or a minute. And sometimes we find there's a lot of success in longer format ads. And so when you're building that structure, you know, we talked last week about the absolute most important part. So watch the episode to find out what the most important part is. But once you get past that part, then you move into what we call the body of the ad. And as you're building the body of the ad, there are certain elements that you really, really want to focus on. And, you know, if you're familiar with the Harmon Brothers, they've done great ad campaigns like Squatty Potty and Chatbooks and some of those. We've studied a lot of their work. And one thing that they popularized is the idea of creating ad bodies in kind of a modular formula.
Yeah.
And what we mean by that is instead of just kind of having this continuous ad, again, like you might see on a TV ad where it's one continuous arc, kind of chopping it up into different sections. And so, again, we talked about the really important part last week that you absolutely have to nail if you have any expect of the ad to succeed. But once we get past that, then we move into the body of the ad. And there are a lot of elements that you want to have in that body if you expect the ad to perform well. And so the first thing that we want to talk about is, you know, kind of that elevator pitch. You know, you want to figure out a way to really consolidate the entire idea and message of what your product or service is. You know, if you're probably familiar with the elevator pitch, the idea that you can, you know, tell somebody in 20 seconds what your product or service is, the benefits that it is, and the direct, you know, and then we talked a lot about the difference between features and benefits, you know, in a lot of our content and how that, like, you don't want to just be listing off like features. So like a new phone or new camera comes out and it's like, okay, it's got 24 megapixel and it can go up to 200,000 ISO. Whoa. And you know, it's okay. Yeah. What does that mean? What is 200,000 ISO? Like, I don't, you know, unless you're a professional that understands all of that, that means nothing. Yeah. So now we say, okay, 24 megapixel. That means that you can, shoot really, really high resolution pictures. That means you can crop into a picture and still have good resolution. For, you know, high ISO, you can shoot in lower light situations. So you don't have to light or have as bright of lights to be able to work with.
In fact, think of the last time you saw either a Samsung or an iPhone ad where they're highlighting their camera. They mention nothing of the tech specs, but what will they do? They'll show you a picture where it's like, I took a picture, and then they'll zoom in on screen.
Yeah. They call it like night vision or night mode.
They'll show them shooting in a dark environment. So again, it's that idea of show versus tell. You don't have to list out like a used car salesman all the best specs and even all the best benefits. A lot of times just showing that in a captivating way is going to be more than enough.
Yeah, because when you're doing advertising, you want to be cutting down the barrier between somebody being unfamiliar with your product and then going, oh my gosh, I have to have that. That's going to hugely benefit me. And so, you know, again, not just dumping a bunch of features in front of your audience. You know, we always say that, like, you know, people don't want to be educated in ads. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, a lot of businesses think that that's a perfect place to teach.
Yeah.
I remember reading a story about like an infomercial, you know, back those 30-minute infomercials back in like Saturday mornings that they would put in. Yeah. And this guy was writing a script for his company. And he went to the director of the infomercial and he, here's my script. And the infomercial is like, no, we already developed a script. Here it is. And the guy looked it over, the marketing director looked it over and he's like, you've got the person on the infomercial looking like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like he's dumb. He's asking obvious questions and being surprised. Like, no, this makes people look stupid. And the director said again, people don't want to be educated.
Yeah.
When they look at that person on the ad and they go, oh my gosh, it's so obvious. Why can't you figure it out? That makes them feel confident, and confident people have a higher tendency to buy. So again, don't let your ads be full of educational or you know, expecting the audience to bridge that gap between, hey, look, it shoots 200,000 ISO. You know what that means.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you'll figure it out. Like, no, you know, make it really easy for people to understand why that benefit is there and what it would change. Because you can see the success. Like, there are the phone manufacturers, going back to your point, there are people that are now that I want this phone because it says it'll shoot really good in low light. It's got these modes and they don't know how it happens.
Yeah.
They don't know if does the phone have a better ISO? Is it using AI algorithms to enhance? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
They don't care.
And
they
honestly,
takes a good picture.
They probably don't even know that it has different modes. They just saw, hey, this person was in a really dark, crowded concert venue and they were able to get pictures of the band. I want to get pictures of the band. I need that phone.
Exactly.
And that's as simple as it is.
Yeah.
And trying to go beyond that, expound into it, is only going to confuse more and create more things for them to think about. Like, and you don't want this. I don't want to say you don't want them to think about it, because you want them to make an informed choice. But if you can just show them how your product or service is going to improve their life, that removes that step of them having to process that. And you can just, and they can feel confident then that you know what you're talking about, that you're the expert, and you're showing them, here's a benefit and this is how it will affect you.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot about how we've transitioned from the video production company to the video marketing agency. And for us to just say that, you know, it's information, whatever. Mm. But a lot of times you hear the story of like how we got to that. After COVID, we were frustrated that, you know, we were getting RFPs and we were just kind of another commodity, video production company on the block. And we wanted to be more. And so we wanted to remove ourselves or decommoditize our services. And so, again, you can watch a lot of our podcasts to hear that story. But that transition that we went through, when we share that story, it's basically what's called an epiphany bridge moment. And we got that term from Russell Brunson from ClickFunnels. And he talks about like incorporating epiphany bridges into your content. That is a really important factor because, again, you don't want the audience to have to do the work. Mm-hmm. If you can guide them and create that epiphany bridge that really guides them to that aha moment, it's so vitally important. Like, give them that transitional point. So whether it's, you know, again, showing the phone being able to take amazing low light and not talking about the specs, but just like, hey, we're in this situation.
Yeah.
You know, those grid, those ads where they're like, I can't take a picture. It's too low light.
Yeah.
Oh, I can take a picture.
Yeah.
Epiphany bridge. You know, that right there, that makes that transition really easy for people to understand.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that we talk a lot about too, you know, your UVP or your unique value proposition. One thing that's important and why it's important to kind of create your ads in a modular format is you don't always know what UVP people respond to best.
Right.
Maybe it is that low light camera. Maybe it's, you know, having four different camera modes in the back of it.
Yeah.
You know, the iPhones are now shooting ProRes right inside of them. They can shoot really cinematic video.
Yeah.
For some people, that's huge. For other people, I don't care.
Yeah, you know, like, right.
So, you know, the creating your ads in a module format where you can focus on each of those different UVPs and then allow, you know, we're going to talk about split testing in a future episode because it really needs its own addressing. But being able to kind of split test the different types of UVPs and seeing, oh my gosh, this is what people are responding to best.
Yep.
And then you can reorganize the ad. It's not to say you wouldn't use that UVP or any of the other UVPs in the promotion or in the ad,
yeah.
But you really want to lead with your strongest one first.
Sure.
And again, We deal with it all the time. Businesses that think they know what their audience cares about.
Right.
And then we find out, actually, this is the thing that your audience really cares about the most.
Yeah. I mean, you talk a lot about the curse of knowledge. And I think that's one of the biggest pitfalls in advertising is that, you know, it's like, oh, I really want to share. I mean, apart from just that idea of show versus tell, but it's like, oh, we have to share this and this and this. And this is really important. And this, it's probably not. It's probably not. There's really one or two key things, maybe three, that your audience is going to hone in on, and that's what you need to hammer in. Can you talk about then how you, like, how would you assess, and this might be jumping ahead, but how would you assess then what UVP is going to be the most effective?
So, I mean, you know, there's market research that can be done, of course, and we do that a lot with our clients ahead of time to just start to see what the market trends tend to lead towards. But, you know, a lot of times we will, you know, you can do, again, we're going to talk about split testing in its own video later on, but you can split test before you actually launch a campaign. Mm. You can split test just images or doing some really simple basic videos, you know, if you have the time to dive in and do a more extensive campaign, you can run these and see, okay, these are the ones that are responding better. But if you don't have the time, you can just shoot all the main UVPs that you know that your product has. And then you can see, okay, if you did like a split test and you start running and go, okay, these are the ones that people are responding to best. And then, okay, well, let's lead with this. This is the more important one, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's the most basic way of doing it. You know, there's focus groups and market research and all that kind of stuff that can be done. But fundamentally, you just, you know, if you don't have the budget or the time to do those, then use split testing to your advantage.
Sure.
Like I said, we're going to do a whole episode about that.
So. But having a modular is what allows you to do that. And so as you're writing it, you know, you talked about, right, used to be you would just write your script, and a lot of times they would take that script and they would just add a couple sound effects and that was their radio copy. Mm-hmm. How do you write then an ad copy that can be modular and still make sense? So it has some sort of narrative, but is modular.
Well, again, that's where you try to not have the script leading into the next section, like create like a complete thought and then another complete thought and then another complete thought. So each UVP might have its own complete thought. So again, if we go back to the camera analogy, okay, this has got, you know, super high resolution. So we might do a video clip of somebody like cropping into, like doing this wide shot of a crowd, and then they crop way into this one person that they wanted to get. And like, oh my gosh, look at how, you know, good that is.
Yeah.
They might show them again that juxtaposition. I can't take a picture at night. I can.
Sure.
So then, okay, there's another UVP that we've established. And then you can then swap those. You can move those around in the ad as you're doing testing. So, you know, we talked about UVP. We talked about the Epiphany Bridge. But there's a couple other modules that we want to incorporate into there, one of which is the social proof, showing off what success stories that people have.
Yeah.
That. So that could be through testimonials, that could be through practical applications. You know, you'll probably seen all the ads where people will go to like walk down a city block or at a mall or at a trade show or something like that. And they're like, try this product out. What do you think? Like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
They put the AR glasses on and like, oh my gosh, look, that's so cool.
Yeah. Or
they put these headphones on and like, this sounds amazing. You know, those reactions, you know, you can do just an ad about that.
Yeah. Domino's has one right now where it's like, how much would you pay for this? Oh, I'd pay $50 for all this food. It's only $20. Wow.
Yeah. So
no knock on Domino's. Yeah. I don't know why I picked on them and did that voice.
But, you know, being able to have social proof in your ads, I think, is an incredibly important module to have in there. So you're going to know best what type of social proof that might be. Again, it could be showing customer interaction. For like our arcade, you know, we'll have people that pop out of VR and we'll just, hey, grab our cell phone and be like, hey, what did you think? And that, I lean towards, let that be a little bit rougher.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be this super high-end polished up. In fact, the more rough, the better sometimes. Yeah. Use your cell phone for that type of stuff because then it feels genuine. It feels like user-generated content.
Correct.
Or UGC. So that's, you know, and sometimes we'll even get somebody on a web chat and be like, just tell, you know, what was it like to work with Creative Edge? Tell us your experience. And then, you know, obviously we ask them, you mind if we record this, but then, you know, we'll throw that into an ad. Like it doesn't have to be polished because that oftentimes feels better.
Yeah, you know, COVID has done many interesting things, but one of them has been really normalizing telecommunications. And I know people have been doing this for decades, so this isn't a new concept, but I think the amount that it's trusted and accepted now in mainstream business was launched forward beyond anything that we've seen. So where cell phone footage in a commercial would have been unheard of, now you have whole ad campaigns made to look like it was shot on a cell phone. It clearly was not, but it's made to look like it was shot on a cell phone. Or you even have mainstream syndicate TV shows that will do whole episodes. One of my favorite, Modern Family, they do it by way of like on the iPad and like communicating through electronic devices. And so it's a lot of FaceTime calls and it's a lot of showing that really rough. They didn't shoot it on high resolution cameras. They really shot it on these low res, and that was the style and that's what they went with. And it was very impactful. And I think by having those genuine moments with people, it's a whole lot better than like, all right, we're going to bring in a film crew and then we're going to film a testimonial. No, get it in the moment, get it while it's raw. And it's going to be far more captivating, even if it is
more genuine.
And it's more right. And people are going to give the quality.
Exactly. So social proof, so important. In fact, one thing that we highly recommend when you're doing an ad campaign is to incorporate that social proof into retargeting ads.
Yeah.
And we'll do another video about retargeting ads eventually. But getting a variety of testimonials is really going to benefit you in the long term. And the final module that we'll talk about today is the defang, or the overcoming objection. And again, this is a Harman Brothers term, the defang your audience. But the idea of like knowing, if you preferably know what kind of objections people might have, a great way to find that out is to go look at either reviews of your product or similar products and see what people had issues with. Oh, this is overpriced. Oh, this, I could just make one of these at home. Yeah. Oh, I don't need that. Who needs that? That's stupid. You know, like finding what the common and most regular objections that people have, and then go ahead and create, you know, ad copy and modules in your ad that just blatantly answer that.
Straight address it. Yep.
Right. You may not say, okay, well, if you think about this, you know, it's more about like, okay, going back to like, say the cell phone analogy of like, who needs low light? You know, I never shoot in low light, but then showing them in a scenario, I'm at a concert and I want to take a selfie or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Like
birthday party where the candles, you know, all the lights are turned out to blow the candles and you miss the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at a romantic dinner, and I want to take a picture with my significant other. So, like, you know, overcoming the objections that people have in your UVP, really, really, and, you know, again, you're going to know what that is. You might have a product that's, you know, we have a company that we're working with that, you know, they make these little pads that go in your shoe that help keep your foot from sliding around. And they're, you know, a lot of people, the most common, I just put a sock in there or whatever like that. And they, you know, we've been working with them to specifically say, these are the reasons that this is better. It lasts longer. You know, it doesn't, doesn't have odor problems, like all these things. And so they can incorporate that into their messaging and then why people would like that. And then you get to the point where it's like, oh, okay, I don't even have that objection anymore. Sure. So you beat me to the punch.
Yeah. Overcoming objections is probably one of my favorite things to address in any sales process. I used to be one of those annoying cell phone guys in the mall, so I apologize if you were ever at the Green Bay Mall and I was just hounding you. But you learn to get no a lot, and so you learn how to process no a lot. And I think if you can put in your ad copy and right out of the gate, you can address those no's. I feel like we've had clients where they're like, I don't really know what we would have, or maybe we're just starting out, so we don't really know what objections there would be. And be ruthless with yourself. Really ask your, I mean, really get down into it. And if you're in sales, you've probably gotten those objections. So talk to your sales team, talk to your customer service team if you have one, see what kind of complaints you're getting. But you had a great point, and this is one of the things that Harman Brothers does. Say you don't have, they use 100 reviews. They go through 100 reviews to see what people like and don't like. If you don't have 100 reviews, which if you're just starting out, you probably won't. We've been doing it 15 years and we're not even at 100 just yet. I'm getting there. But go and find those competitors. There are 100 reviews for a product or service that you are offering. Unless you are coming up with some groundbreaking thing, But then find...
But it's usually then solving a problem that something else is probably solving a similar problem.
Yes. And so go and find that. But again, be ruthless in finding those objections because I guarantee you your audience is...
Don't just look at the good reviews.
Yeah.
Look at the bad reviews.
Because that's where your opportunities are going to be the biggest. And if you can get ahead of those and really address it, it's gonna catapult your success in your sales.
Yeah. All right. Lots of great stuff today. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But next week, again, we're going to talk about that last module. So if you want to know what it is, you can watch our previous episode 2 weeks ago where we talked about the sales formula. Yep. But we're going to have an whole episode about that final module, which very, very important and one that we spend a lot of time when we're figuring it out.
So please click like, subscribe, join us next time. And thank you so much for watching.